Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Welcome, 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 Newsbusters listeners. You are listening to the Newsbusters podcast. Tim Graham continues to be out of the office, so Curtis Houck here and Nick Fondacaro, we are still holding the fort down. Nick, this is a podcast we've been looking forward to all summer.
Howdy, listeners. Yes, it has been. We've been looking forward to this because we're going to have in some of our awesome interns from our summer session, one of our best classes so far.
Yeah, excellent. We're really excited. But first, we want to do a couple minutes here on the day's news. First, we're going to talk about the hearing that really has no impact on the American people at all, and that is the January 6th Select Committee brouhaha yesterday. Now, if you guys know how to use the Twitter machines, you can look up how I felt, Nick felt, our colleague Scott Whitlock and boss Tim Graham felt about January 6th, so we're not going to go any further than that. However, what we do believe in, and I think a lot of us agree on the right, which is this hearing was, as advertised, nothing but a show. You have people like Claire McCaskill on MSNBC who were upset that not enough Americans, Nick, are watching the hearing. It's not like there's inflation, gas prices, the Olympics. I mean, there's any number of things that Americans could be spending their time doing than watching this.
I always get annoyed when politicians and people in the media start complaining about people not paying attention to stuff. It's like, A, you might want to make your life a show, but people don't want to watch it, right? Because people actually have more important things to do. Like, I have friends who don't watch the news at all because they're busy going to school, going to school in the evenings, working during the day, taking care of their kids. They have way more important things going on than watching, like, Jake Tapper, Brian Stelter, or any number of media hacks just pontificate their own thoughts.
Right. When journos think that they themselves are their own audience, which is how they've been for at least the last decade or two, you've got issues. When they think, well, if something works for me, then it must work for everybody else. Well, that's not really knowing your customers very well. Well, kind of, you know, your very small set of customers, that is, because as we see, CNN and MSNBC continue to get blown out of the water. Nick, you had a thing yesterday with Tucker mocking Kinzinger and Schiff. Just give us a few thoughts real quick.
Oh, yeah. This was actually pretty funny because everybody on Twitter and anybody who watched both of these congressmen during the hearing, you could tell that they were putting on a show. Like Adam Schiff put on like these, like he tried to cry, but he really couldn't get anything to come like out of his eyes besides his eyes just bulging out like they normally do. And he talked about how, oh, it must be an Adam thing that we're going to get emotional over January 6th.
Well, guess what? You know, the thing I'll have on that, Nick, before we move on to the mass is Adam Schiff represents Hollywood. He represents Beverly Hills and stuff, so you think he would do better, but
He represents people who live in their own little fantasy land.
Right, yeah, exactly.
La La Land.
La La Land. Now, the other thing we got to hit is the mask situation. Once again, I think those of us, at least on the main Newsbuster staff, have made ourselves very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted yesterday, and I think this was true of a lot of us, we all subscribe to the Jim Treacher School of COVID. He's one of my favorite people on Twitter. He always calls it like it is, doesn't care what you think if you say something that goes against the grain. But his lane has been, for the past year and a half, more than that now, follow the rules. You wore a mask. When they said groceries were dangerous, you disinfected your groceries. You stayed home. You didn't really go anywhere. You got the vaccines when they were available. Those of us on Newsbusters, the main news analysis division, the core group here, we've done that. But now we have to wear masks again. And the media, some of them, are just fine with it. Lena Wen, the baby killer, claims to care about children while moonlighting as a CNN medical analyst, said last night that the CDC guidance also let us know, and she supports, that not only do we need to wear masks again, but if you're vaccinated and exposed to someone with COVID, you need to get tested. Fair enough. But then here's the kicker. Also get isolated. Quarantine. Separate yourself for, you know, the 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever it was. It's just totally ridiculous. Jen Psaki had a really hard time yesterday. The problem, of course, with this is when Weijia Zhang and Kelly O'Donnell and co. really bring it, it doesn't really make it on the newscasts. And I know, Nick, the hypocrisy here is pretty pathetic, and you're okay with this term. It's fear porn. That's what these people are up
to. Oh, yeah. That's something that, like, I say a lot. It's especially when you see them say stuff like sort of stoke that fear of, like, oh, my God, it's coming. It's the backslide. When we thought it was over, here it comes again. But and then they'll push for the lockdowns, and then a few segments later they'll go, oh, my goodness, all these businesses are struggling. People are out of work. They can't make ends meet. You just push the things that's making them suffer.
Right. Yeah, and it's so illogical here. And these people, they didn't lose their jobs. They're still making their millions. They have home studios. The network's all built for them that they can make it happen. So, it's pretty pathetic. Before we bring in our first intern, who's actually not a former intern, but we'll get into that here with him in a second, Jeff Dickens has a media package up about the HR1 that we highly recommend that goes through some of the worst media coverage thus far.
The American apartheid.
The American apartheid. Joy Reid talking about how Joe Manchin loves the filibuster more than America and all that good stuff. So we highly recommend you take a look at that. So, Nick, we've got one here with us. Kevin Tober, our first of three interns, but he's not really an intern, but we're going to get into that in a second. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, so just share with everybody first, where are you from and where'd you go to school?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Brick, New Jersey. I went to Rutgers University. I graduated with a degree in political science last May 2020. But I really consider myself a graduate of the Limbaugh Institute of Advanced Conservative Studies.
From Jersey, but we're not going to hold that against you.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's the good one. He went against the grain of when Jersey sends its people, they're not sending their best. In this case, somehow one did break through, and we're okay with that. First we'll ask, what shows have you watched for us?
Yeah, so I was assigned MSNBC primetime from 8 p.m. to midnight. So I was given, if you're not familiar with the lineup, which I don't blame you if you're not, I was given Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, and Brian Williams.
Oh, boy.
How's your mental health after that?
I'm going to steal a line from Curtis again. I think I need some hazard pay.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So, and you really enjoyed that. And you had some big hits during that. And I believe you were picked up by FoxNews.com, I think.
I was. And then after I left the internship, which we'll get into later, I was also picked up by Red State for tweeting out one of, I believe it was Kyle's article, if I'm not mistaken. Or Scott Whitlock, I think.
Yeah, it was one of the guys out there. So we'll avoid kicking the can down the road. I mean, so it's been about a month now that you left us, but not really. So if you can explain.
Yeah. So again, I love it here. We'll get into it later about why I like it so much and why everyone who's listening, if you're in college, should intern here at the MRC. I left to work in the development department. We're in development. So I saw an opening and I really wanted to stay. You know, I'm out of college. So, you know, once the internship was over, I was going to be sent back to Jersey, which I do not want to do. So I took a job in development, which I'm liking a lot. And so I'm helping keep the MRC funded and keep this podcast ad-free. It's a pretty
very good. Amazing. Yeah, so Kevin is not the only Newsbusters or MRC intern here on the set with us, because I myself am a former intern of Newsbusters. And I got hired on in 2016 in the spring. And Curtis himself here was a intern with CNS News.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Summer 2013. Ugh. Getting old.
Oh, boy.
So, talk a little bit about what it was like to really come in. What were your expectations like? And How have we exceeded them? Put you on the spot.
Well, yeah, this is being put on the spot here. Well, my expectations for the MRC were already pretty high, and somehow you guys exceeded them. not just the organization, how it's run, and just how everybody's so friendly. You know, I've had a few internships where, you know, it's just paper pushing stuff and just answering phones and getting coffee for staff, and there's none of that here. I did all the same work that you guys did. So I'm sitting at a desk next to Curtis and Nick, and, you know, I'm looking over and they're doing the same thing. They're watching the shows and they're blogging about it, and I'm doing the same thing and blogging about it, and it's not even like it's under NewsBuster staff. We have our own professional bylines.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, that we want people to be able to build a portfolio. You want to get into this profession, you have to start building a writing resume. Excuse me, because it's completely different from writing a college essay, for example. Mm-hmm. And that really takes time. It's not something that you can just do, you know. And Nick watched Morning Joe, but he watched MSNBC, and I'm sure that really helped prepare you for dueling with Fredo, you know.
Oh, exactly.
So, I'm trying to think here. But, you know, Kevin, you've been such an impressive intern. That's why we kind of lost you. I guess you say that in a positive, usually say that in a negative tone, but we mean it in a positive way, that we are so glad that you were able to stay with us. You've already ingratiated yourself with this office. People from all corners of the office, they love you. We do too, and we know that you're someone who's going to be in here for the long haul. And we know you. We've told you that already. That you're just really impressive, and who knows, one day
real go-getter.
You could be with us. Absolutely, definitely the self-starter. You know, all of these interns did something good, Nick, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk with Bridget and Charlotte about what they have done really well for us. But I think for Kevin, Nick, I'd be hear your thoughts real quick as we wrap, that was the thing that Kevin did really well, that he's a go-getter.
Oh, yeah, especially because we know that, like, be like, oh, hey, can you take a look at this? Like, if I wasn't able to get to something in the night, I can hand it off to you and you be able to do it. Or occasionally, like, I might dip into Chris Hayes and steal it from you and apologize for it, take some content from you. But, yeah, for the most part, we really enjoyed having you. And we have Bridget here with us. Bridget O'Neill, right?
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me.
So do you want to let us know, first we'll start with the basics, where are you from and where do you go to school?
I'm from near Toledo, Ohio, and I am going to be a senior at Hillsdale College.
So you're actually closer to Hillsdale than most, because Hillsdale attracts people from all around the country, and you're someone who's actually, like, within a partial day's drive.
Yes, I'm just like 2 hours away, so I have friends from like California, Texas, so
that's pretty
people from all over.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
If you want to tell us, what are some of the shows that you've been watching for us?
So I've been watching on MSNBC a lot of Joy Reid's show, Nicole Wallace, and then on CNN I've done a lot with Jake Tapper, Wolf's show, and those have been kind of the main ones there.
So I noted this with Kevin, but watching MSNBC, has that been sort of hard on you? Like, personally, just like listening to these people?
Yes, definitely. I never really watched too much of it before being here. And now, obviously, just seeing, especially with Joy Reid's show, sometimes some of the things that she or her guests will say are just so.
I think a lot of us were like that before coming here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't willingly watch this, although I did. I'm kind of a crazy person, kind of a psychopath, but that's I'm the rare exception, not the rule. Nick and Bridget are more normal human beings. And yeah, I will say that we talked about this with Kevin, and I'd be interested to hear what Nick says, but one of the things that, you know, we said Kevin, he did really well, was he was definitely a go-getter. For you, you were the steady Eddie. You've been the steady Eddie, I think, of the group. Just moving right along, just keeping going. Even if you had some really crazy stuff, you were still blogging, just plowing along. And I really have to commend you for watching Joy Reid with me. It made me feel like I was not alone in this world. And whether, you know, there was another segment that I didn't get to, you were able to get to, or nights when I was either here or had other things to do and watch, you were definitely willing to step in. And that takes some commitment.
Sort of spreading the misery around with the Joy Reid stuff.
Right, exactly, exactly. And then occasional time off. Like yesterday you had a vlog. That was you that wrote about Claire McCaskill.
Yeah.
People, why are people watching January 6th hearings enough? You know, not enough people. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. And
yeah, the same lady who was just like, I'm going to start a new 4th of July tradition to watch that all the time, just making a claim that she can never prove to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if that's something you want to prove.
Exactly.
Exactly. Bridget, what are some of the things that you've really enjoyed most about this internship and working with us?
I think just having the opportunity to write as much as we get to do, and just being able to really kind of be at like sort of the heart of the MRC and what the MRC's mission is, I think has been really great. And I've enjoyed it a lot, even though sometimes watching Joy Reid's show can be tough. Mm-hmm. It's been a really good internship.
Yeah, one of the things we pride ourselves with at Newsbusters is making sure that we get our interns like writing right away. Like we'll teach you guys how to do the transcripts and like how to sort of proofread the closed caption that we sort of use as like the seeds for the transcripts. And then within a week or two, we try to get you guys writing as fast as you can so we can help sort of bolster like a portfolio of writing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And you've also, I've seen you get in on the tape action that we're doing. Nick,
oh,
can
yes,
talk about that.
Yes. So we have a very extensive VHS collection of news shows that we've been recording since the early 90s. And
Before that, 1987. Oh, yeah, but the tapes start in 92 or 91.
Yeah, we're currently in July of 2000. So we still have a long ways to go before we sort of catch up to where we are. But so we're doing like a digital conversion, and you and Charlotte, who we're going to have in here in a little bit, have sort of been heading up, helping us input the data. What's that been like for you?
That's been another really great experience, too. Just being able to see like how much like history and stuff is even in all of those tapes has been really cool.
Yeah, we're a 501c3. So anybody listening for a price, you can really get clips from networks going back to our founding in 1987. Other than each of the networks having their own individual archives, and I believe Congress, Library of Congress, and Vanderbilt University, which has a library, there's no one else in the country, really in the world, that has an American TV news library like we do. So it's a very important thing, and it sounds kind of monotonous, but it is something that's very important to our mission. And but yeah, thanks for coming on, Bridget.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's bring in Charlotte here, who will be our third and final intern.
And right now we have Charlotte Hazard with us, intern who's been covering. Oh, so what networks have we assigned for you?
I've been assigned late night talk shows like Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon occasionally. I've watched a couple Seth Meyers, mostly people that are on late night TV. So
basically the unfunny comedy stars.
Yeah. Pretty
yeah.
Much.
And so Charlotte, where did you go to school, or where do you go to school? What's your major? Where are you from?
Sure. I'm from Virginia. I'm kind of from this area. I live about an hour from here. I go to Liberty University, and I'm a rising senior there, and I'm a journalism major with a government minor, so it's fun.
And we should point out you're friends with Kayla Sargent, who has been one of the Free Speech America writers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kayla's awesome.
And her fiance, Joseph Norris, who people may remember seeing his byline. He was an intern for us here in the fall.
Yeah, special shout out to Joseph. Whenever I was writing term papers, I would email them to him, and he would edit them for me and tell me what I did wrong. So it's great to have someone that's smart that you're friends with.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is definitely the way to go. So what are some of the things that you've really enjoyed about this internship?
Some things I've definitely enjoyed is getting to have special sessions where we get to talk with Dan Gaynor about free speech, where we've been able to have intern sessions about how to network, but especially, like Bridget said previously, just that we can write right away and just learn how the process works, how to edit properly, how a format goes. So that's been really great.
Yeah, as I've said with them, it is definitely different than writing a term paper. The writing a news lead is completely different in the way you structure a news story, and it takes time.
AP style is definitely way different than like an MLA format.
Mm-hmm. No, MLA Chicago, nope. AP, nope. Very different. So one of the things, I think, Nick, you can elaborate on this as well, but I think one of the things that, in terms of what Charlotte really brought to the table that she did best was she's a political junkie at heart here. She is really invested. I mean, we all are. So I mean that as a compliment. When the rest of us see someone that is a junkie and invested in the minutiae and polls and the horse racing, like us, we like something you love to see.
Yeah, you almost have like an encyclopedic knowledge of like a lot of the nitty gritty of like even like some of like either local races or like some stuff. It's like, oh, did you hear about this one thing with this one person? It'd be like, oh, like that had like just broken. The rest of us like hadn't seen it or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It helps when you have, especially with Google Alerts, sometimes when you have keywords, it'll say, oh, this just happened. So it's good to just kind of get on that, especially if you're going to be in the journalism field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never hurts to just make a mental note because you never know when you'll need to recall it, you know. It definitely makes our discussions a little bit easier. So what was your favorite story that you did, if you can recall off the top of your head?
Oh, goodness. Definitely when Colbert had on Joy Reid to talk about what a great journalist she was and how she's always seeking the truth and how... and then they ended up joking about how Fox wanted to kill their viewers. And I'm just like, wow, what great non-bias we have here. Like, it was hysterical. Like, I get it's late night TV and it's attempt to be funny. I mean, if you can even call it that. But... to call someone a non-biased, that, like, I'd say the same if you had Tucker Carlson on, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is this unbiased guy who works at Fox. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's the pinnacle of comedy.
Right, yeah, and this idea, again, this goes to what Tim Graham and I talked about with the town hall last Friday, which is these people accuse Fox News of being state-run media with a Donald Trump town hall. But then what in the world is this kind of stuff? Like, what in the world is this? So, so I know Charlotte's you're looking forward to going back to school soon here. And there's going to be a Virginia governor's race, which is going to be really exciting. And we'll see what happens. But you're always willing to provide the latest information about that. And we definitely appreciate someone who enjoys talking about all that stuff and someone with as many bumper stickers and magnets as a DC sports person like the rest of us, or not the rest of us, because Nick's a Jets guy, but that's another story.
Well, Curtis, that's how I knew we would be friends. When I saw you with your Washington Nats cap, I just knew. I'm like, yes, finally somebody who loves the Nats just
right.
as much as I do.
There are people, you know, if the people are aware of the Rusted Development scene with Tobias Fouque, there are dozens of us. Dozens! So, you know, that's kind of how it goes here. But, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, and I would also just like to add that for both of you, if you guys wanted to come back next summer, we'd be glad to have you.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, well, you know, if depends on if you have a job. We hope you do, and we definitely support you in any and all endeavors.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
So that's it for this special edition of the Newsbusters podcast. Nick, that went very well.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, so we'll be back on Friday for the more traditional podcast. Nick's going to get a monologue in, so we're going to hear what Nick has to say about the day's news. Until then, check back in for Newsbusters as Tim Graham, Mr. Producer's dad, Ben Graham, says, come once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Friday.